It's Here and Now at KGOU in Norman, Oklahoma, a city which is also home, who knew, to the country's largest archive of political ads.
What we've got, everything that we've got on digital now. But this is the physical archive.
Oh, we're going into the vault, I can tell. Yeah. Keys are coming out.
So this is media dating back till the 1950s.
That's Dave Bass, archive media specialist at the Julian Cantor Political Commercial Archive at Oklahoma University. He showed us videos in the meat locker-like vault.
Yeah, so pretty much every format that you can think of. This is film back here. So this has kept it right above freezing, like in the low 30s.
It's like a freezer filled with film. Lisa Henry is lead archivist. She says the long view of political ads is instructive.
People talk every year about how negative, every election year, how negative everything has become. But I look back, and it's been negative since it was in print. And I had some great ones.
Like what?
Son of a corn pone eaten, wasn't hoe, but something equivalent.
Let me see what some of these are.
There are over 160,000 broadcast ads here from 1936 to today, collected but also sent by people who want them preserved. We began looking through the vast computer database for sound with Pat Merrick, chair of the Department of Communications. He started with the first paid television ads purchased by Dwight Eisenhower in 1952.
Rosser Reeves was an ad man who convinced the Eisenhower campaign to do television ads. To essentially kind of sell a candidate as though he were soap.
You like Ike, I like Ike, everybody likes Ike.
For president,
hang out the banner, beat the drum. We'll take Ike to Washington.
We don't want John
or Dean
or Harry.
Let's do that big job right. Let's get in step with the guy that's hep. Get in step with Ike. You like Ike.
So, Pat Merrick, the one thing that jumps out at me of this early Eisenhower, maybe one of the first TV ads, it's so positive.
Yeah, well, they were big on jingles back then. You had a jingle from Stevenson, 1960. Kennedy had a famous Kennedy. And, you know, the idea was you sell candidates the way that you sell other products. You actually start seeing negative ads pretty early on as well. In 1956, the Stevenson-Kefauver campaign ran a series of ads called How's That Again, General? And actually used segments of Eisenhower ads from 1952, where Eisenhower was, Eisenhower Answers America, and he was answering people's questions about inflation. And then they'd say, but inflation's higher than it's ever been. That was another broken promise.
How's that again, General? In the 1952 campaign, the general complained about the cost of living. He promised his television audience,
if people can afford less butter, less fruit, less bread, less milk. Yes, it's time for a change.
How's that again, General?
Yes, it's time for a change.
This is Estes Kefauver. The General's promise to bring down prices was another broken promise. Since the Republicans took office, the cost of living has reached its highest point in history.
But it's so primitive. It's just Estes Kefauver standing in front of a list of names pointing out how they got benefits from General Eisenhower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In terms of kind of the visuals, we're really pretty early on, and the candidates' presentation too, also not getting to the point where they appear comfortable on camera.
Well, candidates became more comfortable on camera and comfortable with attacks, although we're reminded here that on his deathbed, Republican strategist Lee Atwater apologized for the naked cruelty of his attacks on the Democrat Mike Dukakis. Often the nastiest ads come at the local level, where it's personal. In Iowa in 2014, Bob Quast ran a disturbingly cheerful gun rights ad in his Senate run, referencing his sister's murder and a warning, using language which aired, but will bleep.
I believe in every aspect of our Constitution, which even a baby knows includes the Second Amendment.
If you are the sexual predator and sociopath who murdered my sister Lynette, and you come to my front door to do harm to my girls, I'm going to use my Glock to blow your off.
You've got many of these. You know, we would never hear that, ever hear that across the country.
That's kind of what our purpose is, to try to collect as many of these as we can and preserve them.
Because what do they mean? I mean, that one obviously unique to that man and that race. What do ads mean to us?
They are responses to the conditions in that time, in that state, that community. But we're also kind of capturing, you know, it's a little time capsule of the zeitgeist of American culture, too.
One of our colleagues here was just mentioning a great ad that he saw in Missouri that featured somebody saying they were going to dump manure or something. And you said what?
I said, I bet we could find a dozen ads that feature manure.
What else? Can you think of themes that show up in ads?
Classic is the flip-flop and the visuals that go with the flip-flop. If you go back to 1972, there was a McGovern ad that showed McGovern taking positions one way on the Vietnam War, then the other way, and then
flip-flop.
And kind of said, showed the card with the two sides of McGovern starting to rotate faster and faster. Of course, the Kerry windsurfing ad in 2004.
In which direction would John Kerry lead? Kerry voted for the Iraq War, opposed it, supported it, and now opposes it again.
Let's do a couple more landmarks. The beginning of speaking to Hispanic voters. Jackie Kennedy had one of the first ads.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that she was able to speak fluently in Spanish herself helped to kind of personalize that appeal.
Nuestro país está pasando por un periodo de gran peligro. Nos amenazan de afuera la tiranía comunista.
This was a period where the communist takeover of Cuba was relatively fresh in people's minds, very relevant at the time.
And they were Catholic?
Yes.
Every thinking patriotic American favors this country building up its national defenses at once.
Before the TV ads, there were short films like this one for Wendell Willkie, the Republican, running against the Democratic incumbent president FDR in 1940.
No one today disputes the need for a powerful army, navy, and air force for our national defense. For these taxes are willingly paid.
Essentially, this is buying time in theaters before television is in homes and trying to reach audiences who are used to maybe seeing some newsreels, maybe some comic shorts before and between their features, and reach out to them with a paid message that way.
Draw the line to what we're seeing today. When you look, and you do, you guys get to see 50 years ago and then today. What are some of your thoughts about the comparison? I mean, it's pretty much the same in some ways.
Yes, the kinds of themes often kind of stay the same. The idea that you use a candidate's past words against them. Look at Hillary Clinton's ads. They are almost exclusively clips of Donald Trump speaking.
We drew the line from some of the 1950s Eisenhower, where his opponents just repeated his words. Mm-hmm. That's, as you said, what Hillary Clinton's doing. Let's listen to just a little.
You know, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever.
Does she have a good body? No. Does she have a fat ass? Absolutely.
You like girls that are 5'1", they come up to you nowhere. If
Ivanka were themes with regard to, you know, opportunity and economic growth, and those kinds of concerns are fairly enduring. Security, crime, we see certainly a lot from Trump, but we saw them from Nixon, Goldwater.
And in fact, you're not seeing them from Trump this time around. It's maybe PACs that support Donald Trump. What do you think about that? The fact that he, up until recently, hasn't spent anything on advertising.
He had an ad on during Sunday Night Football. That was a national ad buy attacking Hillary Clinton. So he's begun to spend, but not nearly. We're orders of magnitude below the level of spending that the Clinton campaign has bought so far.
Can you think of another candidate who, I mean, nobody has ever not done anything which he has, so he's mm-hmm. there's a first there, but can you compare it to another candidate who didn't have to do as much ad buying because he was getting so much coverage?
I really can't think of one, no. And, you know, there is concern, I think, from advertising professionals that it's harder for ads to break through because people have TiVo, people are watching Netflix, and, you know, the chance that any given ad is actually going to be seen gets lower and lower. But there's also the internet, and people who are interested can seek out ads. They get shared virally on social media. So I don't know if we should be writing the obituary for the political ad just yet.
Well, if they do die, they will be buried here. Thanks. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Pat Merrick, chair of the Department of Communication at the University of Oklahoma. We also spoke with lead archivist Lisa Henry and media expert David Bass. Their political ad archive is open to the public for more and some of the ads. How about that one from Iowa? Go to hereandnow.org.